Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. When's the last time you considered your insurance needs? Coming up, we'll talk about how to protect ourselves, our family, our property, and more. And we'll take your questions about what coverage you might need and what kind of insurance you could probably do without. First, the State Department of Health Services reported 2,883 new cases of COVID-19 today. That's the lowest single-day total in 2 weeks, but Wisconsin's overall trend this month for cases, deaths, and the positive test rate has been up, making us one of the most active states in the country for the novel coronavirus. DHS classifies 68 of Wisconsin's 72 counties as having a very high level of COVID-19 activity. A doctor and public health expert joins us now to talk about where we stand and what needs to happen to turn things around. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how the coronavirus spreads and what's safe and what's not? Are you curious about symptoms, testing, or the public health response? If you work in healthcare, what has your experience during the pandemic been like? What are you seeing these days? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Jonathan Tempty is the Associate Dean of Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He chairs the Wisconsin Council on Immunization Practices. Dr. Tempty, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, greetings, Rob. Always a pleasure to join you on a beautiful afternoon.
Not bad out there, but kind of some bad news out there, too. What are your thoughts on where we're at in Wisconsin with these latest coronavirus numbers?
Well, when I look at the trends in Wisconsin, it's very similar to what we see across the entirety of the United States. We are now in our third peak or our third wave. I don't think we're anywhere near our peak yet, but unfortunately, this third wave is looking worse than the first two, at least in terms of cases.
Right. If there's one bit of good news, and we've talked about this before, it seems like the second and third waves on the upside haven't had the, I guess, critical mortality rates we saw with the earliest waves, especially in the New York City region. Is that accurate, first of all, and why is this different?
Well, I think that's quite accurate, and the reason is probably multifold. First and foremost, we have learned some better techniques in how we approach patients, how we treat them. Many new novel approaches have been implied. So number one, if people are admitted to the hospital, they're more likely to survive at this point in time. Number two, as we've geared up more and more testing, we're finding more of the low symptomatic and asymptomatic cases. And then, you know, I think even further than that, we're now just a little bit smarter about when to come in. So people are coming into the hospital and getting care earlier on. So there's a number of things that we're doing that really help to ameliorate. Unfortunately, because of the incredible expansion in cases, we are now seeing about 1,000 deaths a day across this country. So even though the risk of dying is lower per case, we're still realizing this incredible and very, very sad toll on a daily basis.
Let's talk about prevention. There have been some comments that, hey, this is a virus. We're not going to be able to control it. We have to focus on treatments and hopefully a vaccine soon. I'm guessing from having talked to you before, you're not ready to give up on trying to contain or at least limit the spread of this thing just yet.
Well, the talk about giving up and relying on medical interventions is unfortunately not a very wise choice. Our medical interventions are reasonable, but we have no cures as of yet. We have medications that can help reduce the symptoms, but we don't really have any good intervention that I can provide to you and prevent you from getting ill. Likewise, the vaccines we have out there are being studied right now, and we're hoping to have some coming along for the first few doses, perhaps by the end of the year or more likely next year. But again, once we start immunizing, it will take months before we get this under control. And we have to do things in the meanwhile. And the things we can do, as you know, I feel that I've said this over and over and over again, are the masking, the distancing, the hand washing, staying home when you're ill, you know, getting tested if you're positive, isolation, if you're exposed, going into quarantine. And these things all work. We know across the world, in a lot of different settings where they have not had any vaccines, have not had any known medications, it goes away. Take a look at New Zealand. They did this all without any intervention other than the public health interventions.
And flipping it around, it seems like, and again, broken record here, the worst case scenarios for spreading the disease inside, crowded, no masks, lots of talking or other things that can help propel the virus. Again, even if we don't have symptoms, we could be carrying it. We could not have symptoms yet. Those are the things, those are kind of the easiest conditions, it seems like, to spread the virus. Is that about right?
Absolutely. I went on a nice walk yesterday afternoon, but by the time I got back home, I was cold. It was windy. It was a little bit damp out. And it feels really good to be inside where it's nice and warm. However, when we are all driven inside, the density of people goes up, and the likelihood of encountering the virus also increases.
We're talking to Dr. Jonathan Tempty from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He chairs the Wisconsin Council on Immunization Practices, looking at the latest news, numbers, and information and advice on preventing the spread of COVID-19. You can join in with your experiences, your questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Frank is with us in Door County. Frank, hi.
Good afternoon. I'm a Lutheran minister in Door County. I've been trying to do my best to educate people and keep senior citizens up here alive. My issue is that we are doing a poor, if not criminal, job of distancing ourselves, doing the things that that you were speaking about, and mitigating the effects of this virus or the opportunities to contract this virus. My observation is that we are a people of hubris. We are not disciplined as a nation, and many are calling us to an undisciplined lifestyle in these times, and that's leading to these deaths. I have a friend who's a PhD MD at Johns Hopkins, and they've been running all sorts of, you know, statistics as to probabilities of what this would be looking like next summer, given the varieties of flu possibilities. And if we continue to be who we are now, we could easily see, he says, a million deaths by July 1st. If we do not, even with the vaccine, because this will take a long time to get this number of people vaccinated.
And Frank, while I've got you on the line, I wanted to ask, people obviously in tough times, many want to turn to you and your congregation and your church for comfort in a time like this. How are you working to provide that while still providing the physical safety that you were talking about?
We had our 28th Sunday of physically distanced worship in the parking lot, and people on FM radio in our parking lot this Sunday. Two services on an average Sunday, physically distanced in their cars. We had our annual meeting in the parking lot this Sunday. We're using Zoom technology for all of our meetings. We are very, very careful. We've only had two members of the congregation with COVID. Both have recovered well. But the reality is that not my congregation so much, but many people that I see walking the streets of Door County all summer and now even in the fall do not wear masks, do not socially distance. And this is, I think, just a microcosm of the United States, which I talk to other clergy about throughout the United States.
Frank, thanks a lot for calling in. Dr. Tempty, we heard a lot from Frank there. He is working on this thing, encouraging others too, but he's not seeing everybody pick up the message.
Well, I'd first like to thank Frank for his service and, you know, this wonderful testament on the role of sacrifice and how we have to be in this all together to get to a communal point of well-being. And it is difficult. He mentioned that his congregation has been meeting distantly, as has mine. I have consulted with my congregation, and their decision was it is safest and best to meet in distance, meet virtually, meet in the parking lot, and so on. But as I mentioned in the past, this is a very tenacious virus. And unfortunately, when we look at the maps of the world, of the United States, of Wisconsin, of our own counties, this is seeded everywhere. This is really out there. And we have to approach life that we could be infected without knowing it and spread it to our loved ones or to total strangers. Conversely, people we're in contact with have that potential as well. And unless we get this under control, we're not going to see the ability to get back to business as usual. If you have 50% of the population worried about this, it's still going to have dramatic impacts on those businesses that rely on 100% of people coming in. And so we just have to get it in our heads that we're in this together, and we all have the ability to have an impact. And so the plea goes out, as Frank had mentioned, that this is a time for personal sacrifice, but for finding new and unique ways of reaching out to each other.
Frank, thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Dr. Jonathan Tempty, Associate Dean of Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the state of COVID-19 here in Wisconsin. Taking your questions and thoughts at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about COVID-19 symptoms, treatment, and what we can do to flatten the curve? Do you have a question about how the virus is spreading? What kind of activities are high or low risk? Do you still feel hope that Wisconsin can turn things around? And if you work in healthcare, what are you seeing? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Dr. Jonathan Tempty from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, also chair of the Wisconsin Council on Immunization Practices, looking at COVID-19 in the state and how to slow it down. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your thoughts, maybe your experiences. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to our callers now. Nick is with us in Green Bay. Nick, hello.
Hi, I love your show, by the way. And I love you. You're awesome. I was exposed last Monday, and it wasn't my employer. I don't want to say who it is because I don't want to get yelled at anymore, but they're going by the 6-foot rule for 15 minutes yet. So I worked with a guy last Monday that had it. He came up positive. So Thursday I started having a cough. My chest hurt a little bit, and they escorted me out of the building. So I went to the doctor. I said, the doctor's like, well, were you exposed to anybody that had that came up positive? I said, yeah. I was like working with this guy, and I got chewed out up and down because of that, because I wasn't within 6 feet of him for 15 minutes. And then this morning when I finally did come back after being quarantined for 10 days, I still got reamed up and down by the HR and my boss. I just can't believe it. I mean, you know, they care more about their dollars than they do like their employees. But luckily I came back negative, but I just couldn't believe I got chewed out like that.
Nick, thanks. I'm glad you got the negative test there. I hope you're feeling all right now. Dr. Tempty, Nick feeling like his workplace isn't taking distancing concerns seriously, it sounds like.
Yeah, one of the things that we really emphasized very early on is the important role of employers and human resources individuals within companies and other entities, that this is one where for the benefit of the entire operation, we have to take a very serious approach and to provide individuals with a time off that is suggested by public health, be it isolation or quarantine. early on, I worked with a colleague of mine from Beijing in a scientific study of what was happening in that country. And what really struck me is that with this experience in China, when people were pulled out of the workplace, they were assured of having meals delivered at home. If they had childcare responsibilities, that was provided. And in a large city like Beijing with 34 million people, they were able to contain this actually very quickly. But it really depends on having that human resources, having the respect for that individual, what they're going through. None of us really want to isolate at home for 10 days. None of us want to quarantine for 14 days. But that's kind of part and parcel of what we're going through right now because this is such a contagious virus.
Thanks for that call. Before we go back to our callers, Dr. Tepti, quick question about if one member of a household has a positive test, what are some ways to, and you know, they got to live together, they don't have access to a second place to live. How do we reduce the risk of transmitting it within a household in that case?
Well, first and foremost, we do know that when somebody is positive in a household, the risk to others is relatively high. It doesn't mean everyone's going to come down with it. We think it's about one out of every four individuals, but the risk goes up. But, you know, things such as isolation, having that infected person move into their room, kind of quarantine off part of the house for that. If there is an extra bathroom for that person alone, they should use that one bathroom. We know that many situations we don't have that luxury. But trying to keep that person having as little contact with other members as possible. And when contact does occur, other members of the household really should keep the distance. The individual who is ill should be masked. And the amount of time being spent in close contact should be minimized. So the CDC has recently changed their criteria from 15 minutes at one time within 6 feet to a cumulative of 15 minutes over a 24-hour period. And so we can see in a workplace situation where you're having frequent contact with another person, even though it might be for 2 or 3 minutes at a time, if that accumulates to over 15 minutes over the course of a day, your risk for contracting the virus goes up substantially.
Talking to Dr. Jonathan Tempty from UW's School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at COVID-19. Back to your calls. Aaron is with us in Madison. Aaron, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
What did you want to tell us about, Aaron?
At the beginning of the COVID outbreak, my boyfriend was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia, and so has been going to treatments here in Madison at UW. And for some of the time I've been able to visit, some of the time I haven't been able to. And in fact, recently he's been hospitalized. So I just wanted to talk about what Wisconsin could do to better help the citizens understand that this is more far-reaching than anybody understands. Like the fact that people who are already sick are having to be more isolated. So I was just wondering if there is anything else that the state can do besides the mandate to help others understand that this is impacting people who are already suffering. And I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Aaron, thanks for the call. Best to you and your boyfriend. Dr. Tempty, your thoughts.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for that point, because that is really important. Across the United States at any given time, there are at least 10 million individuals who are immunocompromised due to illness, due to therapies for illness, or other reasons. And we oftentimes don't think of them, and we don't recognize them. But people who, like your boyfriend, might be going under treatment for a cancer, people who have asthma and are on high doses of prednisone. But these people are immunocompromised, and one of the ways we can protect them is doing everything we can to minimize the ability to transfer disease. So one thing that we really emphasize is making sure you're up to date with all of your immunizations. We've talked a lot lately about making sure we're getting immunized to influenza for this upcoming flu season. But that's really important. The other thing is, if you are sick, staying at home, having that common courtesy. And again, we have to really work with the workplaces to allow that to happen. It's a multifactorial problem out there, but working together, I think we can solve it. And we're in the midst of, you know, this pandemic, which is the worst pandemic of a respiratory virus that we've seen in over 100 years. And we need to step up to the plate and act like that and take the necessary steps to bring this under control.
In just our last minute, Dr. Temte, can you tell us, you mentioned vaccines hopefully starting to be available soon. In a minute, how what does it take to go from they're available to lots of people are getting them?
Well, the state of Wisconsin has a vaccine allocation subcommittee of their state disaster medical advisory committee, and I'm part of that. And we're starting to look at how we distribute a vaccine once it gets to the state of Wisconsin to assure that the people who need it the most get it first and make adequate planning so everybody gets the vaccine in due time. So we're very, very hopeful. We have now four vaccines undergoing clinical trials in the United States right now. We're hoping that all four of them are home runs, and we'll just keep on working on this to make sure that when they are available, they get to people. At the same time, it's really important that when vaccines are available and are shown to be safe and effective, that people are willing to receive them.
Dr. Temte, thanks a lot for joining us again.
And thank you so much, Rob. Have a good afternoon.
You too. That's Dr. Jonathan Temte, Associate Dean of Public Health and Community Engagement at UW's School of Medicine and Public Health. He chairs the Wisconsin Council on Immunization Practices. He's with us to talk about the latest on COVID-19 here in Wisconsin. Coming up after the news, we'll talk about how to evaluate our auto, home, life, health, and other insurance needs. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at 6 on The Morning Show, ransomware attacks and other cybercrimes have hit companies and organizations, big and small, and individual users are vulnerable too. Kate Archer-Kent and her guests look at cybersecurity on your devices, what the threats are, and how you can stay safe online. That's tomorrow morning at 6 here on the Ideas Network. Now, a new survey shows that 41% of Americans said the pandemic has changed how their families handle their finances, especially when it comes to their insurance needs. 45% either said they have no life insurance or are unaware of whether they do. 22% said they'd consider boosting their life insurance coverage this year. Nearly half said the death of a primary wage earner would cause financial strain in less than 3 months. We thought it'd be a good opportunity to talk not only about life insurance, but other kinds of insurance as well. Auto, home, health, disability, umbrella, you name it. Call in at 800-642-1234. What kind of insurance do you have a question about? Have you been wondering whether you should add or remove coverage? Are you shopping around for a new policy? Is there a particular detail or component of insurance that you don't understand? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Chris Hogan is a personal finance expert in Nashville and host of The Chris Hogan Show. He's the author of Everyday Millionaires, How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth, and How You Can Too. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Are you getting a lot of questions about insurance yourself over the last bunch of months?
A lot of people are waking up and really starting to look at this. I can tell you, Rob, since March and this pandemic has hit, you've had a lot of people are waking up to their financial situation and realizing that they're A, not where they want it to be, or B, are realizing they've got some gaps and they want to get things taken care of.
Let's do a little insurance 101. Who needs insurance, broadly stated, before we dig into particular kinds of insurance?
Yes, sir. Everyone. Because when you think about it, insurance is simply risk management, right? In exchange for a payment, you get coverage from a company, whether that's on your home, your rental property, your car. So it's just risk management. And so it's really imperative that we have these coverages to make sure that we're protecting ourselves as well as our families.
When it comes to insurance shopping, I get exposed to a lot of insurance company ads when I watched, you know, the Packer game yesterday. Do I just go with the one with the funniest commercials, or what's a smarter way to shop?
You know what, Rob? I'm telling you, I am amazed at the sheer number of insurance commercials that are on there.
Yeah.
Whether you're talking about a little lizard or a bear or a, what is it, an emu? You know, there's all kinds of things. But it really boils down to me is I want to work with people that I can trust. And so I typically am doing it by word of mouth. We have our endorsed local providers, which is a network of people that we've vetted that are going to teach people and guide them the way that we talk about here at Ramsey Solutions. So that's how I go about it. But I think it's important to find someone, and this is really important. You want to work with someone that has the heart of a teacher, not a salesperson. Someone that has the heart of a salesperson, and we've all been around those people where they're just trying to sell you on something. They just want to get your money and get you to do something. But someone with the heart of a teacher has a totally different approach. Their goal is to educate you and hear you and then help you reach your goal. So look for someone with the heart of a teacher, not just a funny commercial.
Talking to personal finance expert Chris Hogan, author of the book Everyday Millionaires, looking at insurance, what we need, what we don't need, how to look around for it. Chris, let's look at some different kinds of insurance now. First, give us the basics of life insurance and the couple different kinds that people might see out there and not know how to tell one from the other.
Yes, sir. Well, life insurance is absolutely imperative. Life insurance essentially allows you to replace the income if a breadwinner or one of the breadwinners were to pass away. And so I advise people, there are two types out there. There's term life insurance, and then there's whole life. Whole life insurance is really, it's got an identity problem, I call it, because it's trying to accomplish three different things. Whole life is trying to be an investment, it's trying to be a savings account, and it's trying to be insurance. So it makes it more expensive. The cheaper way to go about it is to get term life insurance, which, just as it sounds, it covers you for a period of time. Now, I have told people for years, you want to get 10 to 12 times your income in term life insurance. And Rob, a lot of people say, oh, Chris, I've got it available through my job. Well, hold on a minute. Okay, because if you lose or leave that job, now you've lost or left behind that insurance. So it's best to get this insurance, life insurance, outside of your job. So if you move on from this company, it will follow you. So 10 to 12 times your income. So if you make $50,000 a year, you're looking to get $500,000 to $600,000 in term life insurance. And so this is, again, money that will come in if a breadwinner were to pass away that allows you to continue to take care of your family or continue to move forward with your financial goals.
Now, you mentioned breadwinner there. Now, if it's a situation where, you know, say one spouse, say, is making all the money or 80, 90% of the money, does the other spouse need life insurance too?
Absolutely. And thank you for calling that out, because not only for the breadwinner, but you got to think about it. If you've got a spouse that's staying at home, that's taking care of kids and taking care of the home, that's a job. Okay, that is seriously a job. And so if that person were to pass away, you're either going to have to hire someone or you're going to have to move closer to family to help you. So on average, I'll tell people, if you've got someone that's staying at home, you want to look at $250,000 to $300,000 in term life insurance coverage for them as well. So you want it on both. And the earlier you get it, the younger you are, the cheaper it will be. And another thing, a friend of mine just had twins, so my prayers are with them because they're not getting any sleep for the next several months.
Been there.
But if you're adding to the family via adoption or having a baby, this is a time that you want to look at the life insurance and also increase that because your family has just grown. You've had a life change. And it's very simple. Again, term life insurance is going to be the cheapest way to go. It'll take here. I just want people to be honest with it. With getting life insurance, they're going to come. They're going to take blood and they're going to get a couple other fluids, height and weight. And then they'll process it. And it'll take about 8 weeks before the policy is what's called full and in effect. So once you get that in effect, now what you have is you've got coverage and you've got peace of mind for the sake of your family.
All right. That's life insurance. Let's talk about AD&D, which role-playing game fans, not talking about that. Accidental death and dismemberment coverage. It makes for a shocking read to figure out how much, you know, an arm is worth and that kind of thing. Is this something we should consider getting?
Not at all. This is one of those products that are add-ons, specifically and inside of personal finance places where they're doing loans. If you've got life insurance in place, then you do not need accidental death and dismemberment insurance. This would be something that would be a waste of money.
Now let's turn to car insurance. This can get tricky, and I know things might differ from state to state when it comes to requirements, but big picture, how should we conceptualize how much and what kind of insurance we need for a car?
Yeah, on a vehicle, what I tell people is listen, if you've got a loan on this vehicle, which I don't want you to have loans, I want you to pay cash for cars, but I'm being real, you've got to look and you got to figure out what's required based on that loan. But I tell people liability is the coverage you absolutely need to have. Liability protects you if you were to hit someone else, or it'll help protect you if you get sued. And there's typically dollar amounts up to coverage limits that you can add to it. But full coverage, this is the type of coverage that anything that happens to your car, the insurance company will take care of it. Now, as you can imagine, the premiums are much more expensive with full coverage. So I tell people, once you've paid off the car and you've got an emergency fund, which means you've got enough money put away to be able to repair the car if it's something were to happen, drop the full coverage and just stay with liability. But you always want to have liability coverage to protect you and your family.
Okay, now a lot of us have experienced a situation where buying, I don't know, a toaster or a computer or whatever, and hey, do you want the extended warranty plan or insurance plan or whatever they call it? And you got to pay extra for it. Obviously, good investment or not?
Rob, no. Bad investment.
So I should do it. I should absolutely take it.
No, you should absolutely not, Rob. Do not
okay.
do this.
All right.
Yeah,
I got it.
No. Now, listen, what they're trying to do is sell you peace of mind. They're trying to make you feel it's almost like a hug on paper. They're telling you we're going to be here for you. But here's the deal. You know, with a toaster, it protects the left side, not the right side, right? And the right side of the toaster goes bad, and guess what? You call them, you wait on hold for 3 hours for them to tell you that it's not covered. Listen, you're better off paying cash for this thing. Have money to the side to repair it or replace it if you need be. Don't fall for that $300 to $400 add-on purchase. It's not worth it.
We're talking about our insurance needs, how to evaluate them to figure out what we do and don't need. Personal finance expert Chris Hogan is with us, host of The Chris Hogan Show. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about your insurance needs? How long has it been since you evaluated what coverage you have? Do you feel pretty good about your insurance policies since the pandemic began? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about auto, home, renters, life, and other types of insurance. Chris Hogan stays with us, personal finance expert in Nashville, host of The Chris Hogan Show. He's the author of the book Everyday Millionaires, and you can join in with your insurance-related questions at 800-642-1234. If you have a question about what you need, how to evaluate what you have and need, call in 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls. Arlene is with us in Burlington. Arlene, hi.
Hello. Hello. We have rentals in Wisconsin, and then we have some in Florida. We have umbrellas on ours up here, but they don't offer to extend it to Florida. Our Florida insurance will not give us umbrellas because we don't have car insurance or something. Is that typical? How do I get umbrellas in Florida? That's all I need.
Okay.
Arlene, thanks for the call. Let's talk. Let's define umbrella before you answer that too far.
Yes, absolutely. So an umbrella, just like if you were to go outside in the rain, you put the umbrella up and it's going to keep the rain. It's going to protect you. So an umbrella policy is essentially an additional policy that you would add that it's an additional coverage between your car insurance as well as your home insurance. So it's another layer of protection from you being sued. This is something people typically look into, and I advise as you start to get into the wealth building phase. Primarily if you have investable assets of $450,000 or you own your home outright or more, this is something to do. Umbrella coverage is relatively cheap. It's a couple of hundred dollars per million. So you can, it's definitely well worth the buy. Now, to our caller's question, it's interesting that they told you you couldn't get an umbrella policy in Florida because you didn't have car insurance with them. They didn't say whether or not they offer it. They just said you couldn't get it. You weren't eligible. So here's what I'd do. I'd get on the phone with whoever you have coverage with in the other home, call around to some other national size companies or deal with an insurance broker and talk with them about getting that umbrella policy in Florida. I know that they have them down there. It just sounds like to me you need to get with a company that can help you.
So don't take one no for an answer, it sounds like.
That's right, Rob.
Arlene, thanks for the call. Let's go to Matt now in Madison. Matt, hi.
Hello. Two questions. One, with auto insurance, why would a luxury brand car, like we own an Audi A3, be cheaper to insure than, say, a much older Honda Odyssey minivan? And then the second one, for major appliances that might be on the luxury side, like Miele or Bosch or whatnot, do extended warranties that are direct from the manufacturer make sense when a single service call would be more than the cost of the extended warranty?
Great questions. I cannot for the life of me, my friend, figure out why an A3 would be cheaper, an Audi, a luxury brand, would be cheaper to insure than the minivan. I don't, that's weird. And the question would be is are both cars under the same names? That is strange and that's odd. The minivan should totally be cheaper, especially because you said the car was older. So
yeah.
That's odd. But to go back to the extended warranty, again, remember what I told you all. This warranty is set out to give you peace of mind. And I just know I've talked to many people over the years that have spent hundreds and thousands of dollars on those warranties. And lo and behold, guess when it breaks? Guess when you have the failure of the product or the thingy, right? It's always after the warranty, typically a month or even a week. So I just think you're better off saving up that money, having it tucked aside and going, hey, at some point X, Y, and Z is going to fail. It's going to have to be replaced. Or guess what? You call and you have someone come in and fix it because it typically always will fall outside of what the warranty covers. And I'm just talking from 20 years of experience here.
Thanks for the call, Matt. So when we see something odd in coverage, like Matt's example of why is this car more expensive, is it worth a call to our broker or agent or company or whatever the case may be to see what's going on?
Absolutely. I'm going to make a phone call, and someone's going to have to really walk this through and explain it to me. Now, typically in that scenario, Rob, what's happened is the car might be in someone's name that has maybe a better driving record than maybe the van. We do have to be aware of driving records. We do have to be aware of age. We do have to be aware of how far things are being driven and how often. If you've got a vehicle, like I've got a truck that's not driven very much, primarily on the weekends, as opposed to my SUV that's an everyday driver. And so I would just ask some questions and really find out exactly what's going on. And then if you have to, as always, I want you to get a quote. Don't ever be fearful of calling around to see if someone else can give you a better deal. But there's a difference between what they talk about what they can do and what they actually can do. And that's where the rubber meets the road.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Chris Hogan, personal finance expert, host of the Chris Hogan Show, talking about insurance, what we ought to get, what we ought not to get. Back to your calls now. Gary is with us in Strom. Gary, hi.
How you doing?
Good. What do you want to ask about?
My question is I have an Aflac. It's like a rider policy. And I've been told a couple times that it's really not worth having because of what it is. I have accident insurance, and at this point, it's been really kind of tough getting anything from them because the accident policy is just the way it is. You have to fill in all these forms, and I haven't been real successful with it. So is it a good thing to have or not? I guess is my question.
Yeah, Gary, thank you very, very much for reaching out. And, you know, in theory, you know, those commercials and they talk about they're there to help pay your bills when you can't. Well, that to me is what an emergency fund is for. So no, I would not purchase an Aflac plan. I'm not going to go that route because like you said, there are many hoops to jump through, many forms to fill out, and you've got a family to feed. You've got people to take care of. So I advise people, get yourself out of debt. Build up an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses. Have that money sitting there as a safety net to protect you. And guess what? When an emergency arises, you have money that you can reach out to get. You don't have to fill out forms. You don't have to fill out paperwork. You can just reach into your bank and be able to take care of it yourself. So, again, it is not something I would spend the money on at all.
Thanks, Gary, for the call. We got an email from Nikki in Milwaukee who says, are there any resources for high-risk people denied life insurance through the major companies?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for this email. This is very important. You know, right now in this political environment, we're hearing so much about pre-existing conditions. And too oftentimes when people are applying for life insurance, they can be denied because of high blood pressure or for some health risk in the family. Please don't stop there. That's why it's important to work with an insurance professional, a broker. That means a broker is connected with more than just one company. So just because one will tell you no, that insurance broker will be able to guide you to help you get connected. And yes, you may end up having to go with a higher risk plan because of a health condition. Well, good. At least you can know that, fit that into your budget. And guess what? You know you still have coverage. So thank you very much for reaching out with that email. That is a very important question.
Good luck, Nikki. Let's go back to our callers. John is on the line in Fenimore. John, hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
What do you want to
Hello,
ask
sir.
About, John?
Hey there. Yeah, you were talking about extended warranties on products, and I had maybe a related question on home warranties, a little bit different product, but a one-year home warranty policy that's commonly purchased at the time of a home purchase. How do you feel about those?
Yeah, thank you, John, for that question. The home warranty, especially as you begin to look at it, you've got some serious appliances. You have the roof. You have a lot of things that are going on inside of a home. So the home warranty is one that I'll begin to look at a little bit differently as opposed to just from a product, a toaster or something in that nature. Primarily, and I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, with that, whether it's $500 or $1,000, again, you want to be aware of it, read the fine print, know exactly what it's covering and how it works. A friend of mine bought a home and the warranty was simply for the heating system only. Right. It was the only thing covered inside of that. And so that's a terrible offer. I mean, we're not going to pay $1,500 for an HVAC system that was 2 years old. Right. I mean, but being able to look at it and if it's covering a variety of things or things that are older, then yes, if it's vague and it doesn't seem like it's helping or going to help protect you, then just go the route of putting money aside inside of your emergency fund and you can take care of it yourself.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Chris, I saw a video you did talk about one more kind of insurance. Pet insurance, you, I understand, not a fan.
No, I'm not. We don't put any insurance on the pet. Listen, I know people love Fluffy and Ruffles and all the pets out there, and that's a good thing. But you start to look at the dollar amounts of this coverage on people, and I know people are struggling to put food on the table. And so you start to look at something that's $300 to $400 a month or $1,500 a year. That's a lot of money. And so, you know, again, I know you want to take them to the vet, you want to do that, but I want you to reserve the life insurances and the health insurances for the people in your family.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Chris, just a half minute or so, how do we start to reevaluate our insurance? There's a lot of paperwork. It looks complicated.
It is. There's a lot of stuff out there, and we've been talking about so many. There's auto, there's homeowners, there's umbrellas, there's health insurance, there's long-term disability, term, long-term care, and identity theft protection. There's a lot. But you work hard to provide for yourself and your family, so you want to make sure you cover it. We've got a 5-minute coverage checkup that you can find online by going to DaveRamsey.com/coverage-checkup. Let me say that again. DaveRamsey.com/coverage-checkup. And it'll walk you through and help you get updated on all these different coverages and help you identify gaps in what you need.
Chris, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you so much, Rob. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Chris Hogan is a personal finance expert in Nashville, host of The Chris Hogan Show. He's the author of the book Everyday Millionaires, How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth and How You Can Too. We talked to him about various kinds of insurance and how to evaluate the coverage we do and don't need. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll compare and contrast the economic plans coming from the president and his Democratic challenger. Our guest wrote a book on the subject, and you can join in with your thoughts and your questions. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. you're looking for a scary book to read for the Halloween weekend, we've got some help on the way tomorrow, especially if you have a younger audience in mind. A librarian is going to join the show with suggestions for scary books for kids and teens. And you can get the party started right now. Tell us about a scary book you liked as a kid or one that you've shared with your children. And if there's a young adult book that's just right for teens and grown-ups, all the better. Share your suggestions on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org. Well, there were two Halloween kids books that used to fill me with a sense of dread, but not for the usual reasons. When my kids were little, a relative gave them two Halloween books around Halloween time. It was a Barney's Halloween and a Growing a Pumpkin book. They were fine books, nothing against them, except my kids locked in on them. And for their bedtime, read to them time, they would insist on one or the other of these books. Starting just after Halloween and lasting, I think, until like April or May, every single night, Barney's, I'm cleaning up my language here, Halloween, or Growing a Pumpkin book. So yeah, it was a different kind of fear, not really your Halloween scare kind of fear. Well, we'll get more genuinely scary reads tomorrow. Share yours at the Ideas Network Facebook page. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.